Chapter 48. Dorian and Janine were sitting together in the garden. He had dismissed his retainers, and for a time, they had sat without speaking.
"I'm sorry I killed that Werdmeister," Dorian said.
Janine looked up, surprised.
"Why? Because it upset me? Or because it was wrong?"
After a moment, Dorian said,
"I could have dealt with him in a manner less brutal. He was responsible for those Ethlings, wasn't he?"
"Yes," Dorian said. Janine plucked a red flower with six petals, each bearing a purple starburst. Caladorans considered a blooming star flower an omen of great good luck, because they bloomed only once every 7 years. Conversely, a dead starflower was the worst luck. In this garden they bloomed constantly, but each bloom would die within hours of being plucked. The Veer was not good at sustaining life. After regarding the flower in her fingers for a long minute, Janine said quietly,
"Milord, I'm sure you know that my father was a fool. What most people don't know is that my mother was brilliant. My father feared her, and he tried to marginalize her so she wouldn't grow more powerful than he was. She knew it, and she let him because she didn't care to turn her mind to politics. It was too rough, too dirty, too brutal for her. My father made 1,000 mistakes in ruling, but my mother's might have been bigger because she chose not to rule. I lost the man I love, a man who would have been a great king because of that, so I'm not going to turn away because ruling is messy. My people will deserve better of me, nor will I settle for the soft hypocrisy of criticizing you as you face threats I can barely imagine. I don't want to rule simply because I enjoy power. If it's not for that, then it's for nothing. I want to undo everything that my father and his fathers have made of this country. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if it can be done."
A quick scowl passed across her face, but she didn't speak for a few seconds. Dorian waited. Finally, she said,
"Milord, I see you usually being so decisive, so strong, and then the next moment you're in here apologizing to me for something you had to do. Maybe you could have done it differently, but so what? There was an immediate threat and you dealt with it. I'm trying to tell you that you don't need to be weak for me. I've seen enough weak men in my life. I guess my question is, and it's probably the same question your people have, are you going to be a king, or are you just trying to stay alive until you can run away?"
Her words caught him. He hadn't once thought of himself growing old as God King. Had that been because he couldn't remember even a fragment of prophecy with himself as an old God King, or because he'd been afraid to throw in his lot wholeheartedly with this land? He hadn't thought about how things would be even a year from now. In thinking for such a short term, he'd ignored problems. He hadn't done anything to seal the Highland tribes to him. He hadn't moved against Neff. He hadn't moved against the Ethlings. And Janine saw his hesitation as weakness. How many others did, too?
"I am king," Dorian said, "and I will be until the end of my life, however long that may be."
"Then rule as you must to be king. Do you have any idea what that means, here with these people?"
Dorian asked.
"No,"
she admitted.
"But I trust you."
Dorian had thought of Janine as naive, but he'd been wrong. Janine was inexperienced. There was a difference, and she might well yet be horrified by what experience taught. But her eyes were open. Nor did she have an overflow of sympathy for the people who had killed her husband and her entire family. But a monarch had to be hard, didn't he? Nodding as Jeanine rose to go make more preparations for their wedding, distracted by his own thoughts, Dorian reached out with his talent to lay a small weave on the star flower to preserve it. It was a simple weave and could make even the most delicate flower last a month. But Dorian had forgotten how much Vere had been used in growing the flower. Vere and talent touched and warred, and the flower turned black and limp in Jeanine's hands. Dorian cursed.
"I'm sorry, milady. You've given me much to consider. You are wise beyond your years. Thank you."
He plucked another starflower and wrapped it in Vere for Jeanine. It would last a few days, but then he'd simply pick another. The royal guards let Kylar pass without comment. Elena Drake stood near the door, arms folded under her breasts.
"I'm sorry,"
Kylar told her.
"How could you do this to Eileen?" she asked.
He walked past her and strode through quiet corridors, up the stairs to the queen's apartments in a fog. The Kakari flicked out of his hand into the form of a dagger, then sucked back in. Out. In. Out. In. Was it always this simple for Vi? Some flirtation, a little innuendo, and your debtor isolated herself, arranged your entry, and helped keep your presence a secret? After the lengths to which Kylar had gone for some kills, walking in an unlocked door seemed like cheating. The guards hadn't even taken the dagger from his belt. Leaning against the door frame, he breathed deeply. He'd seen so much death in this place. Tara Grayson's room was Gareth Orsul's old room. There had been statues of dead girls in the room bare weeks ago. What had they done with those statues of flesh made stony? If he ever found Trudonna Jadwin, he would make Hugh Gibbet look kind. Such bloody, bloody thoughts. Kylar knocked. There was the scuffling of bare feet on marble, and then Tara Grayson opened the door. Kylar was surprised she was still fully clothed. She stepped close and kissed him, softly, luxuriously, their only contact in their lips. She moved slowly backward, sucking on his lower lip. He followed, letting her take the lead. She closed the door and stepped into his embrace.
"We'll have to be quick," she said, in between kisses on the neck. "I can't miss my own party, but if your tongue is half as talented as you suggest, I guarantee to reciprocate very soon."
She giggled wickedly. What surprised Kylar was how easy it was. Tara was taller than Eileen, and her lips not as full, but teasing her was the same. He traced fingertips down the backs of her arms, then, feigning growing passion, slid one hand to the back of her neck and the other to the soft curve of her buttock. From the interplay of starched stiffness and yielding flesh, he could tell she'd removed her undergarments. He lifted an eyebrow, and she giggled again.
"Like I said, quick and clean. Later we can do long and dirty."
"You poor bitch. You don't even know what this is." What was he doing? Why didn't he end this sad farce?
"Finish the job, Kylar."
Kylar closed his eyes as Terra pushed him onto the bed. But as soon as he did, he imagined Vi standing beside the bed. She looked pissed. Kylar's eyes flew open as Terra crawled over him. She tugged her neckline down. "Kiss me," she said. Vi seemed to be standing right there, her eyes flaming, daring Kylar to do it and feel her wrath. The image made no sense, but that didn't make it any less powerful. Terra made a pouting sound and tugged her dress lower, brushing her bare breast against Kylar's face. His ear felt suddenly hot. Sickness and revulsion washed through him, his stomach cramped. There was a wordless scream of animal rage from the doorway. Kylar blinked his eyes furiously, trying to clear away the black spots swimming in front of them. Terra barely sat up before a body collided with her, knocking her off of Kylar. Kylar fell off the bed and staggered to his feet. As his vision cleared, he saw Luke Grayson on top of his sister, pummeling her with his fists and screaming obscenities. Finally, his chest heaving, Luke pulled himself off of her. "You killed Natasa," he said, drawing a short dagger from his belt. "You killed our sister."
"No," Terra said. "I swear."
Blood was pouring from a gash across her eyebrow, and her lips were fat and bloodied from Luke's fist. The last piece of darkness Kylar had seen in Terra's eyes fell into place. "She sent a messenger to the God King," Kylar said, telling him Natasa was traveling to Havermir, and she arranged for there to only be two guards with her. Terra gaped, but Luke's eyes never left her face. The guilt written there was plain.
"I did it for us. She was going to betray us. For the gods' sake, help me, Kylar,"
Terra begged. It was a mistake. She could have faced Luke down. The last thing she should have done was remind him of the other man she'd been about to fuck. Luke screamed again and stabbed her in the stomach. She shrieked, and Luke cowered back, then attacked again, gashing her arm as she lurched to her feet. He stabbed at her back as she ran to the wall, caught the ribbing of her dress, and dropped the dagger. Terra found a bell rope and yanked on it over and over. Luke picked up the bloody dagger and walked toward her, his face a mask of grief and rage, weeping and cursing. He stood in front of his sister as she collapsed on the floor. Kylar wondered if Luke saw what he saw. Terra Grayson, without power, without the Auteur, was a pitiful shadow. She hunched into the corner, blubbering.
"Please, Luke, please, I love you. I'm sorry, I'm so sorry."
Perhaps Luke did see the same thing as Kylar, because he stopped, paralyzed. He still held the dagger, but Kylar knew that he wouldn't use it now. Terra's wounds weren't fatal, Kylar was certain of that, especially not with a green mage in the castle. Terra would recover, and she would owe the Chantry an enormous debt. She would put her brother to death, and she would capitalize on people's sympathy for her to move against her enemies, real or imagined. Poor Luke Grayson. The weak bastard wasn't even 18 yet. Kylar slapped the young man hard and plucked the dagger from his hands. Luke fell. "Look at me," Kylar told him. The royal guards were on their way. They might arrive any moment. Kylar could cut Terra's throat, knock Luke senseless, climb out the window, and rejoin the party. Luke would be beheaded for treason and murder, and Logan would be made king.
doubtless, whoever had told Luke about Natasa's betrayal intended exactly that. Luke met his eyes, and Kylar weighed the young man's soul. Kylar cursed, loudly. "You're no killer, Luke Grayson. You marched right up here, didn't you? Walked past a dozen witnesses?"
"I thought so."
"What are you doing?" Terra demanded. "Help me!" Kylar looked into Luke's eyes again and saw a young man bound in chains, not of his own making. Luke was no saint, nor purely a victim. But he didn't deserve death.
"Tell me one thing," Kylar said. "If you could take the throne, would you?"
"Hell no," Luke said.
He was telling the truth. "Then I give you these, Luke. First, knowledge. You're no killer. These wounds won't kill your sister. Second, your life. Make something of it. Third, I spare you a sight that would never leave you."
"What?"
Luke asked.
Kylar punched him in the forehead. Luke dropped like a stone. Kylar rubbed Luke's bloody hands against his own. He cut Luke's tunic in two places with the dagger, and finally stabbed him in the meat of his shoulder, shallowly. Terra was aghast. "What are you doing?"
Kylar drew the mask of judgment over his face.
"I've come for you, Terra."
He let the Kakari sink back into his skin.
She screamed. He grabbed a fistful of hair and pulled her to her feet. He planted the dagger in her shoulder, and with his right hand free, pressed it against her wounded stomach to get it bloody. He wiped the blood on both sides of his face and pulled the dagger out of her shoulder. He stood behind her, using her body as a shield between him and the door. She was begging, screaming, cursing, weeping. But Kylar barely heard her. He sighed, and when he inhaled, he smelled her hair. It smelled of youth and promise. There was the sound of jingling armor and heavy footsteps pounding up the hall. A dozen royal guards burst into the room, bristling with weaponry. Behind them, Logan Gyre and Duke Wesseros and their guards pushed into the room. In seconds, they'd formed a half-circle around Kylar and the Queen. Dozens of weapons were leveled at Kylar.
"Put it down!" the royal guard yelled. "Put it down now!"
"Help me, please!"
Terra begged.
"By the gods, Kylar!" Logan shouted. "Don't do this! Please!"
For the job, it was perfect. Now dozens of witnesses had seen Logan command Kylar to stop. There remained only one thing. Kylar painted a desperate expression on his face.
"Luke tried to stop me, and he couldn't,"
Kylar raved.
"And you can't either."
Kylar slashed the dagger through Terra Grayson's throat. And all the world screamed.